Before we go to my next guest, Nora Mullen, who used to work in Campion Insurance in Merchants Row there, passed away. But they're having a tribute to Nora Mullen. So they are this coming Thursday and Friday in Campion Insurance in Merchants Row there in Galway between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. And they're having a coffee morning. And they're going to, Campion Insurance will host the tribute to beloved colleague Nora Mullen this month. And she was from Headford, as we all know, and also Ballyban in Galway. And she passed away in December 2023, which is still very raw for the crew in Campion Insurance. And she worked with McLaughlin and Graney, Mickey McLaughlin and the crew, and then went on to become Future and Natal Campion Insurance. And they've been in Galway for over 20 years, well over 20 years. But if you're passing by Campion Insurance, which is the old McDonald's building there on Merchants Road, tomorrow between 10 and 12 and Friday between 10 and 12, go in, make a contribution, and all the money is going to a very special charity altogether. She was really dedicated to her job, compassionate, talented, and extremely helpful to all that went into her. But her sudden illness and passing, she's been greatly missed by everyone that had the pleasure of meeting her. So they're hosting it tomorrow. It's 5 Merchants Row, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, on Thursday and Friday, the 21st, 22nd of March. And all the proceeds are going to Galway Hospice Foundation. And again, the donations can be made in the office as well. Now, let me move on, because my next guest, I said this morning, he jumped before he was pushed, and he denies that altogether. Councillor Seamus Walsh, who was, or is, I don't know yet, being a Vault Councillor in the Connemara region, sits off to me today. Seamus, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What is your current status, by the way? Are you in or
okay, I wrote to Fianna Fáil yesterday evening an email, and I told them that I will not be contesting as a Fianna Fáil candidate.
Okay.
And that's formally telling them.
You've been very critical of Fianna Fáil and its leadership indeed, and you haven't held back on that.
Okay, right.
Were they going to push you, or were they not?
No, I don't believe they were. And the process is crazy, and I think they were trying to roll back. But let's start at the beginning, right? We had the problem in Roscahill. And by the time I got to...
Be careful there now, because it was legal.
Absolutely. And I won't.
But
what I will say to you is, right, the notion of saying that I was a scaremonger, the notion of saying on prime time that one of the opponents on the programme, by Micheál Martin, on prime time, saying that you're scaremongering and this, anything we try to say that makes common sense is put down as scaremongering. Now, I'll be straight about it. Every week, there's some crazy idea coming out of the government. Roderick O'Gorman is coming with one idea about this, one idea about that. The government came
That's
with this
politics,
referendum.
Otis. That's why when you joined Fianna Fáil, it was happening then. This is not
indeed
something new.
Okay. But when I joined Fianna Fáil 20 years ago, I joined as a councillor in Connemara on planning issues, and I set the task of learning the planning system and trying to rectify the problems as I could within the law in planning. And I think I've had a great success rate on that. I failed on some. And it hurts me. To any case I fail on, it hurts me. But back to the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that we have a government. Fianna Fáil was my party until yesterday at 3 o'clock. And I think that they're dancing to the green tune, trying to appease their partners in government.
Okay, but that...
Adding fat to the fire with these crazy ideas.
What crazy ideas?
For example, the referendum, right?
Yeah,
we even have Fianna Fáil Oireachtas members, right, coming out saying that they canvassed for a yes vote, but they actually voted no.
Yeah.
Who do they think they're cutting? Do they think we're Egypt?
But let's come back to,
But it's fallen apart, like. And you know the old story about Nero fiddled while Rome burdened?
Yeah.
Right? We have spent, and I'm certain we spent, you know this thing about 25 million on a referendum or 20 million? That referendum cost 50 or 100 million.
We don't have the stats on
that. I'll tell you this, right?
It wasn't carried.
The average house being built by young couples, or old couples indeed, but mostly young couples that are mortgaging, their average mortgage is around €420,000 for a house. A
lot of money.
So it's a lot of money, but just think, in the context, what was that referendum in comparison to that?
Okay.
Are you telling me that the referendum was only 10 houses? That referendum was 100 houses. That's 100 houses that we could have had. But we could have had 100 houses for our young people. We could have done so much. The priorities are wrong. 10%.
Hang on, James Walter. Can we go back? Can we come back to basics here altogether? I want to go back.
But it is basics. That's what's wrong, you see. And Fianna Fáil have gone away from basics.
No, you've gone off on a tangent on me now, so come back.
You say that to me, but I'm not.
But I have to say it to you, because it's the truth. Come back into the middle of the road with me here.
Okay.
So you wrote to Fianna Fáil, are you going to run as an independent?
I am in negotiations with Deputy Michael Fitzmaurice.
Are you joining his organisation?
Yes, I am.
You are? That's fine.
Yes, I am.
So you're joining Independent Ireland?
I There's no, I never told you a lie ever. I'm joining.
And you haven't.
I am, yeah, and I won't. I am going to join. I have to finalise some details with them, which, by the way, before I sent the email off yesterday to Fianna Fáil, in fairness to Michael Fitzmaurice's crew, the advice from them was, have the decency to resign formally from Fianna Fáil and give them a week to shoe over it or whatever. Don't just, as you call it, jump. But in fairness now, Michael has been... I met with Michael a month ago in Athlone.
You're joining Independent Ireland.
I will be, yes.
As others, and Old Arkin has done so, and some of your council colleagues have done so.
Well, Declan Geraghty, if I think on the council, Declan Geraghty, Declan Kelly. That's so right. You have three councillors now that are declared in effect for Independent Ireland, and there will be more.
Okay, so you're going on that. But I mean, do you, in your right mind at this stage, ever think that Fianna Fáil in the next 5 days are going to come back to you and say, please, Seamus, don't leave
No,
us.
But hold on now a minute. In fairness, I didn't renew my membership last January, February, March. I haven't renewed my membership. I haven't attended.
So you're off membership.
Come here. I didn't attend a meeting since the time Micheál Martin came out and was bad-mouthing me, in fairness, like, and saying that we were scaremongering, etc. Now, remember, what I was being investigated for in Fianna Fáil, and currently am, according to themselves, God help them, right? Like kangaroo court stuff, like
go on,
baby
go
stuff.
On, keep it
right?
simple.
But,
keep
okay,
it simple.
I'll keep it simple, right? So I'm being named out, right, for scaremongering. Eamon Ryan from the Green Party, leader, comes out, and what does he say? He says, people are genuinely afraid, they have genuine fears. Seamus Welch says it, they're kicking him out of Fianna Fáil. Leo Varadkar came out and says, there are genuine fears in the community, and we're going to get into consultation. Seamus Welch says it, kick him out of Fianna Fáil. And what does the other lapdog do, Micheál Martin? Dances to his tune.
Okay.
And backs and he's told.
Okay,
and
well, you can tell them all that.
No, I have the notion of never talking to him again. What I will say to you...
So you'll never talk to them...
And it's not that I'll never talk to him, because that'll be taken out of context. But what I mean is this, right? The councillors, you conducted a poll, very good poll within the councillors in Fianna Fáil, the 20 councillors, right? And you came back with a resounding support for myself and Noel Thomas for our stand. Since that... We have got an internal document from Galway County Council that was got under freedom of information. It was sent, given to us by a reputable journalist. And it was sent online to Noel Thomas, who sent it to me, and we've sent it on to other people, saying that Galway County Council rejected the Ross Lake as a centre for refugees. That there were no footpaths, no sewerage, no shops, no buses, no facilities whatsoever, that it was totally out of order. Now, putting 72 people into a sewerage plant that's only fit for a family.
Doesn't mean it goes on fire. Can we come back and talk about politics? You've now tendered your resignation to Fianna Fáil. You're in the process of signing up with Independent Ireland. And you're going then to go in the forthcoming local election?
Yes.
For Independent Ireland?
Yes.
Okay. Is Noel Thomas going to go with you?
No. My good feeling is, yes. But that is, and you know, I don't want to give you the politician's answer. Like, I cannot speak for Noel Thomas. But it is, I cannot see how Noel Thomas could stand for Fianna Fáil. I cannot see how he, in his gut, based on. Like, but that's, you asked an opinion about somebody else that he will have to verify.
We're in discussion with him.
But in fairness, right? The way that Fianna Fáil are dealing with the people, the way it's happening, right? I mean, they're not listening to anybody on the ground. Now, you even take a simple issue.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's politics. You're long enough in politics to understand.
That I have to cry out, and I'm long enough crying out.
You don't have to. You haven't held back, Seamus Walsh.
I never held back.
No, you didn't hold back. I mean, you gave it to me on Martin Between the Two Eyes on this programme.
Both battles, yeah.
Yeah. So you don't hold back, and all I'm trying to do is legally safeguard myself, the company, and you in this regard. So, I mean, some of the stuff that you've said, a little bit off the wall.
But is it off the wall? Because it's the truth.
Legally, it's off the wall.
But no, when you make a comment that's true, it's not libelous or slanderous. Like, and if it's true...
That's fine for you sitting on that side, because you're not the one that would end up in the inquiry. It will be me and this company in here. So what I'm doing is I'm safeguarding this. And I don't care who sends in a text and says, let him say what he wants to say. I can't let you say what you want to say.
I didn't come on to say that, but we'll start at the beginning. But what I will say to you is, right, that as a Fianna Fáil councillor, and I've said this, I attended one Fianna Fáil meeting this year so that I could tell the people the exact facts of what happened.
Yeah.
And they were aghast. The Fianna Fáil members and were aghast.
You can do that at that meeting.
You
have a huge amount of support out there, and I get all that. But the restraints on us, and we're getting texts in here pillorying me this morning that I won't let you say
no,
more.
No, Keith.
I cannot.
Keith, since 1998, since I first came to you, we've had our
ups and downs.
Not even downs, right? You're a presenter, and by the way, in your retirement, you know, you will be a loss to the politicians.
Oh, go on, fire ahead,
yeah? Yeah, you will be a loss to the politicians because we know you for the past 30 years and we're dealing with you, and I'll take this opportunity to wish you the very best in your retirement, and I personally am sad to see you go. Anything that ever comes up in debate between us is purely debate, right? And it is now, and we have never had, and we've had discussions, but we've never had a falling out.
I know, and I think the world of you and your wife, and I do, but there are some legal restraints we just have to be careful.
Yeah, and I'm respectful of that.
You trust that.
But what is very hurtful, though, it's very hurtful to think that the media out there have it, and it is out there, that myself and Noel Thomas, for example, are put on the right-wing side of things, and that we're racist isn't actually true, you know.
Let that run through.
Well, we have to defend ourselves to some degree.
You do. And you've done it at meetings and otherwise. And
back to basics, right?
No, I have to leave a go.
There's no head nor tail to the way the government is going. And it's one crazy idea after another. I am delighted.
In your opinion.
In my opinion.
And many others as well.
Yes.
Come here. I have to run because of a man waiting on the other on a line for me. Seamus, thanks for popping in. Good luck with Independent Ireland.
Thank you.
Are you going to go on the general as well?
No, absolutely not.
Local only.
I'd be honoured to be selected by the people of Connemara to represent them again. That is it. And as always, I give them everything I have.
All right. Seamus Walsh, thank you for joining us today on the programme. And by the way, there's no follow-up between you and I.
If I don't get the opportunity before, I believe it's April the 12th, you said you were pulling
April
out.
April the 12th, yeah.
But I hope you'll be covering the local elections. I hope you won't be gone.
I'm around for that, yeah.
I think you will.
Gotcha. Okay, dealing with you, I'd want to take a 3-week break, so I would. Listen, thanks for joining us, in regards to Mary and the family as well. Councillor Seamus Walsh, and just apologies if I was a bit tough on him, or you perceive I was a bit tough on him. There's a legal consequence to some of the stuff that's been said, and we just can't. We have to shut it down, so we do. Let me go, though, to Dr. Neil Hyland, who joins you, who's a specialist registrar in public health medicine in the West, and he joins you on the line. Dr. Hyland, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us today. We're just looking at the whole vaccines that are available from GPs and vaccination centres as well. Can I ask you a very simple question? I mean, is there a date that everyone before that date, whatever age they would be, may have got this unknown to themselves because they were so young? Or how can they find out if they've had the vaccine?
It's a very good question, Keith. So I suppose, first of all, the kind of cut-off date for people who required the measles vaccine is 1978. So if you're born before 1978, you're considered to have immunity passively from childhood, when it would have been widespread in Ireland through communities. If you're born after 1978, you should have had two measles vaccines, one at 1 year old, 1 year old, and one at 5 years old at primary school. Mm. If you're not sure, you can check in with your GP. Some GPs will have records, or your local health office. So in Galway, you'll have its own local health office to check. Sometimes people, even after all that, aren't still certain if they've had their measles vaccine or not. And in that case, we'd recommend people just to get another measles vaccine, because it's a very safe vaccination to give. And if we're uncertain, just to give an extra dose.
Yeah, I mean, it's important. I mean, 1978 is a bit away as well. But then we have some people indeed who are anti-vaccine, no matter what it's for, including measles as well, and some very well-educated people. So, but I mean, it's quite clear when we see some of the news coming in, say from planes or trips that people have been on, and then somebody tests positive for measles. And I mean, it's a big job for the HSE to try and track some people down and make sure they're okay.
Yes, it absolutely is. And the reason we want such high rates of vaccination for measles is because it's so contagious, and also there's certain groups of people who can't get measles vaccination, so children under one, pregnant women, and people who might have allergies to the vaccine as well. So we have to do our best to protect them. But yeah, it's extremely contagious. So if people are travelling or maybe abroad or on flights, there's a really high risk of transmission. So mm-hmm. we'd always say to people that the best way by far to protect yourself against measles if you're travelling or if you're in Ireland is to have your two MMR vaccines, and that we know that gives really, really brilliant protection.
Absolutely. And just from a symptoms point of view, what are the initial symptoms that somebody may say, hang on a second, I heard that doctor on the radio at Finnegan during the week, and what would the initial symptom be if you do have measles?
Initially, it can sound kind of like a lot of illnesses a child might have, just simple things like a cough, a runny nose, a high fever. The other thing you might get, you might see with other things, is like a redness of the eyes called conjunctivitis. Mm-hmm. And then you might get a kind of a non-specific rash, which might progress to a rash that starts around your head or neck, but then will spread widespread throughout the body over the next couple of days. Children can sometimes be quite well with it. They can be a little bit miserable and off their foods and things like that. But we do see children as well who can be quite unwell with it, and adults indeed, who can be quite unwell with it, especially if they haven't had vaccination previously and can need hospitalisation. So we would advise people that it can be fairly non-specific, but if you're concerned about those symptoms at all, with high fever, cough, runny nose, with redness of the eyes and that widespread fever, that you should definitely be thinking measles if your child hasn't been vaccinated.
And again, it's a silly question, Dr. Neil Hyland, but I'm just wondering, there's no point then in running to the GP if you think that you have measles. Maybe liaise by phone, correct?
Don't
go out of the house.
That's a brilliant point. If you're concerned at all that you or a child of yours might have measles, we'd advise you just to stay at home, isolate, call your GP, tell them you're concerned about these symptoms. What they might arrange for you to do is come towards the end of the day, stay in your car. They might arrange for a swab to be done through the car, like people might have done during COVID times. We're better at arranging these things now since COVID as well, so these things are possible. It mightn't always be measles that the child has, but we do know that it's extremely contagious. So if there's any concern at all about it, just to not spread any illnesses around the community.
Really is common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, it is common sense, definitely.
We have to hammer it home, though.
Exactly, yeah, and the messages are fairly simple, but the simple things are the things that work really in this case. Like we're just hammering home just to best protection being vaccination and to isolate yourself if you're concerned about symptoms before you give your GP a call.
Best place to get Dr. Neil Hyland. Best place to get information on this.
So the HSE has a website, so you can go to hse.ie. There's a portal there as well. So if you or your child hasn't had a vaccine previously, but now you're aware that you haven't had a vaccination, especially we're really targeting healthcare workers and children and adults, young adults under the age of 24, as well as underserved groups in the community to really try and boost our vaccination numbers in those groups. You can check in to hse.ie and go onto the vaccination portal there to book in for a vaccine at a local clinic, or you can contact your GP directly to see if they're available to give the vaccination to you for free as well.
All right, keep up the good work. And Dr. Neil Hyland, Specialist Register in Public Health Medicine, thank you for joining us today on the programme, and a very good morning to you. By the way, I was off last week, and thanks to John and for everything that he did indeed, and congratulations again to him. We'll talk about that on taking over Galway Talks on the 15th of April, and we'll do a wonderful job. But I lost a great friend, one of my best friends indeed, Clem Walsh, passed away following a short illness in hospital. Clem and I have worked together, God, for a long number of years, but he passed away, unfortunately, after a short illness, and very, very sudden and very quickly in the end. But to Mary, his wonderful wife, and to Miriam and to Thomas, I missed the funeral because I was away, unfortunately. I tuned into the Mass in Kilkenny Church, and he got a great send-off. He really got a great send-off, and a big family, the Walsh family, and great to see him, and he would be thrilled and excited to have got the send-off that he got, and he was looking down on us today. I will get to the month's mind, and I will be in contact with Mary and Miriam and Thomas as well. But it's just the end of an era, and I actually woke up this morning and said, I must give Clem a ring. That's kind of how often it was, and I wouldn't mind, but I spoke to him about 3 weeks ago, and I said, I'll pop out to you. And like a lot of things, I didn't do it in time because something else happened and something else happened and I didn't. But to Mary, to Miriam and to Thomas and the extended Walsh family, condolences from Joan and I and our family, from one family to another. It's just a difficult time for them and they really have lost an absolute legend.
The Motoring Slot, in association with Colm Quinn BMW Select. The ultimate finance at Colm Quinn. Whatever BMW model you choose, BMW Select has tailored finance available that is just as impressive as your new car. Contact Colm Quinn BMW on 091 753 888.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. The comment lines are all open if you do want to get through to us today. I want to go, though, to Gerry Murphy, who sits up to me today. Morse, how are you today?
Morning, Keith.
You're driving some vehicle outside.
Yeah, a bit of style.
Always used to a bit of style. Now you've had a good few stylish ones now recently.
Yeah, but you take the big with the small with the premiums and then...
It's a Mercedes-Benz you have.
Yeah, it's a Mercedes-Benz CLE, 2-litre diesel coupe. This is a classy looking car.
No, it is now.
It's just a two-door and has a sloped back on it, but it's definitely eye-catching when you see it parked up or on the move.
And all the bells and whistles that you could
need. Yeah, it is, as you get with a Mercedes of that quality, you'll get everything that you could ask for in it. It's all delivered in the Mercedes way. They do it uniquely. There's so much to like about it. But the one thing I keep saying about Mercedes, and this car proves it once again, fuel consumption in a Mercedes always impresses me. Picked that car up yesterday in Dublin with 1,474 miles in it, or kilometres in it, to be exact, and sitting out there, it still has 1,320. After coming from Dublin yesterday and coming in here today, I think that's just wonderful. But it is a standard thing with Mercedes cars that the fuel consumption will always be better than what they say in the catalogue, in fact. 4.5 litres per 100 kilometres.
That's very good.
It is exceptionally good. It's over 65 miles per gallon, as in old money. But, I mean, it's something that I've noticed for a number of years now, the fuel consumption in a Mercedes-Benz will surprise you how good it is.
Wow. Now,
there's a number of different driving modes. I've been driving it in eco mode as much as possible. It has a comfort mode and it has sport. But I'd be quite happy driving around in eco mode in it as much as I can. It doesn't take anything away from the quality of the drive.
Hmm.
It's a diesel, so we're back on diesel again, 2-litre diesel, and it's really, really nice. Internally, that particular one has an off-white, sort of cream-white
leather,
black leather.
Yeah, I see it here, yeah.
The off-white is a little bit sort of to taste.
Hmm.
I much prefer something different, but hey, beggars can't be choosers, and you get it. Price wise, they start at 73,000. There's a whole bunch of additives on that one, including the paint, the leather, white and black inside, a night package, what they call. And
what's a night package?
Night package comes if you're driving at night, the car will give you ambient lighting, it will give you all sorts of extra stuff.
But you're driving, you're not sleeping.
No, you're not sleeping, but you can sit back, relax and drive with caution. It also has a panoramic sliding sunroof and all of that tips the price up to 83,760. Is it value for money? I think it is. You can get more Mercedes-Benz cars an awful lot more expensive. Does this offer you as much as those? Probably a little bit less, but it really has everything you need. I'd be very, very happy to say that it's a car that I kind of like.
Can I ask you, who can afford 73,000 or 83,000?
There's plenty of them now. You'd be surprised. A lot of them bought with PCP.
But PCP on a monthly basis, what would that cost you?
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't see any figure for PCP on it. I could look that up. they haven't given me a figure of what it was cost on PCP, but that's a deal you would do with the dealer.
Mm.
So there are plenty of people out there that can afford 83,000 for a car, and anecdotally you can see them on the road. There are plenty of cars of that value knocking about the
place. And are they all PCPs?
No, not necessarily. Some of them are company cars, some of them are privately owned and paid for. But I mean, you'd have to ask,
okay.
you know, when you look at, we'd say, the quality of the car that's up in various dealers in town, up at Mercedes themselves,
yeah.
up at Audi, over here with Colin Quinn and BMW, they're expensive cars, and people can afford them. Maybe me or you can't afford them, but there are plenty of people out there that do.
Absolutely. Can I briefly go to the Subaru Solterra, is it?
Yeah, the Solterra.
Lovely-looking machine.
The reason, it is a lovely-looking machine, but this is a collaboration between Subaru, who we all know as one of the great sports models. This is an all-wheel drive version of what Toyota BZ4X. This is four-wheel drive. Yeah, all-wheel drive. 51,495. What I do like about this car has rode back from... You've often heard me complain about the difficulty in getting around technology, just simply because too much stuff going on the screen and not enough analog switches and buttons in the car. This is as close to the best I've seen in that manner for a long, long time. It drives lovely. And like, I'm always putting the Toyota in with it. The Toyota is only a two-wheel drive car, but this is four-wheel drive, and rather impressive. Lovely to drive, lovely interior to it, and a lot going for it.
Who's the local dealer?
Niall Cunningham, out in Cunningham Auto Point,
Carmarthencross. Wow. Again, give me the price of that. The
price of that is €51,495. You're all electric, it has to be said, and it's a damn good car. Like, you'd be tempted to say a good car for an ordinary person, but it's stylish as well. It looks
beautiful
good.
Beautiful looking,
And it is well worth consideration.
All right, Morris, thanks indeed for joining us today. And mind the Mercedes now. You'll have to collect
it. Do that.
Bring me for a spin so you will later.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jerry Murphy, joining us there.
The Motoring Slot, in association with Colm Quinn BMW Select. The ultimate finance at Colm Quinn. Whatever BMW model you choose, BMW Select has tailored finance available that is just as impressive as your new car. Contact Colm Quinn BMW on 091 753 888.
A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Some new jewellery called Bill and Bob Jewellery has come across our desk. And I got an email to introduce us to this, and it starts as follows. We're all born equal. You do not choose your family. You do not choose your DNA. You do not choose the environment you're raised in. Nobody aspires to become addicted to alcohol, drugs, gambling, and more. Nobody hopes they will get a mental illness or any other life-threatening disease. Nobody strives to make a mess of their life. Deirdre Hurney sits up to me today. They're your words. Good morning to you.
Hello, Keith, and hello to all your listeners.
Thanks for joining us today. You're a townie by heart, but tell me a little bit about yourself and the jewellery that you've designed.
Well, I suppose about 20 years ago, I hit my rock bottom with alcohol addiction. I was at my lowest ebb. Definitely, I was a total mess, not to mention the heartache and pain I was causing my family and my extended family and friends. But at the time, I was totally oblivious to all of this, because all that mattered was where and how I would get my next drink. The only way I can actually explain it is by saying that it's like a searing pain going through your whole body that you need to relieve. But it is an illness. I had gone to treatment centres, counselling, went to AA meetings, but I just kept relapsing. And for those that may be listening that are in that situation now and that may have relapsed, please keep trying, because there is light at the end of the tunnel. Relapsing is part of the process in addiction recovery.
Now, that's a very important statement to make. And again, if it's the thing that you have relapsed, just try again from there.
Absolutely. I don't know how many times I tried, but I eventually got there. And I don't know what was the final jolt that that I had that got me into sobriety, but definitely my children and family were a major factor in this recovery journey.
Did you receive unconditional love and support from those around you?
Absolutely. And I will always and ever be grateful for that, because they're always going to be in my heart for all the love and support I got, especially my children. Actually, soon after becoming sober, I brought my four children to Children of Alcoholics Counselling in Dublin. I brought them a few times up to that, and thank God they were young enough then not to have been too badly affected. Well, I don't think they've been affected at all, actually, because when I look at them now, they are my greatest joy, and I am so grateful that they're in my life.
And again, your parents got to see you in recovery as well, which was important.
Absolutely, because they were very much part of my recovery, and I'm so glad that they did see me in recovery before they passed away. They've both passed away now.
And you then went on to, we'll talk about the jewellery in a minute, but you actually went to education, so you did, and you became an applied, you got a BA in Applied Addiction Studies.
Yeah, like most people in my situation, I think you just want to be out there and helping other people that are going through this, because you understand so well what they're going through. So I did the BA in Applied Addiction Studies, and I also went on to do a youth justice course in Maynooth.
Mm-hmm.
So I did find that those courses did help me to help others.
So talk to me then about Bill and Bob Jewellery. Where did that idea come from, can I ask? And who are Bill and Bob?
Well, anyone who has attended AA or NA meetings would probably have heard of the two founders. Bill Wilson was a stockbroker and Dr. Bob Smith was a surgeon. And they met each other and started chatting and realised that it actually helped to talk about both of their situations. They were both had problems with alcohol, and the organisation was founded in 1935. And since then, I think it's just gone worldwide, AA, NA, GA. It exists in more than 180 countries.
So go back to the jewellery then, Deirdre, because, you've brought some lovely pieces with you and you're wearing some lovely pieces. Was there always a designer in you?
Well, I don't know about that, but over the past few years, I just thought it'd be nice for people out socialising who are in recovery to be able to connect with others in recovery, you know, in the same situation. So by wearing the ring and or the disc or whatever, you can attach the disc to a bracelet or a watch or your handbag. It's a subtle way of letting people know that you're in recovery, and that allows the two people to connect. So it's, you know, rather than asking somebody, are they a recovering alcoholic, you could just say, are you a friend of Bill and Bob's? That's a good way of introducing yourself.
It's a brilliant idea, and you can simplify it from there then, because effectively what you're doing is giving them an opportunity not to have to use that word alcoholic.
Yes, it's such a horrible word. The word alcohol seems okay when you mention alcohol, but the minute you mention alcoholic or alcoholism, it just there's such a stigma even attached to it.
But you said at the beginning of all of this, it's an illness, so it is.
It actually is an illness, yeah. And you know, anyone at all that's in recovery, it's a status that you should be so proud of. It's a massive achievement to recover from this disease.
So talk to me, where can they get the jewellery, the Bill and Bob jewellery?
Well, Neil McNeilis has been very good to me. He's launching the jewellery in his shop, Claddagh and Celtic Jewellery in Quay Street, and there's a phone number, and you can also buy it online from Neil's shop. It's for the moment anyway, it's in Claddagh and Celtic Jewellery in Quay Street, and the phone number is 091-534-404.
And is this something that you'd like to see going global? Because AA is not just local to Galway, as you said, right across the world.
Absolutely. Well, for now, it'd be lovely to see it go national and, to see people just being able to chat to each other and to discuss things. And if you saw someone, if you were away somewhere and you saw someone wearing a green jersey or a GA jersey, would you go over and chat to them if you had any interest in soccer or GA? So why not do the same with the Bill and Bob.
But isn't it lovely to have something as simple as the Bill and Bob jewellery? And if we say that you're in Spain and or otherwise you come across somebody wearing it, at least there's support for each other if you need support.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, supporting each other. And why not?
Why not? So if they want to go down to, what's Neil's company called again? He's down in the Spanish Arch.
Quay Street, yeah. Claddagh and Celtic Jewellery. And they're also available online and free delivery in Ireland.
All right. Deirdre, it's lovely. I hope that it takes off and I hope that it goes extremely well for you, Deirdre Hurney. Thanks for popping into us this morning and good luck with the Bill and Bob jewellery.
Thanks, and, Keith. And the best of luck in your own retirement.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the programme. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Get ready to drum at the Galway Drum Show 2024. John Tierney, who's with the Galway Drum Show, sits opposite me today. John, morning to you.
Morning, Keith. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Andy, for coming all the way from Crockwell in today. You're in the Clayton Hotel, say, this coming Sunday. Talk to me about, is this the Ireland Drum Show or the Galway Drum Show?
Well, it's called the Galway Drum Show, but because we wanted to have Galway in the name. We're very proud to have it in the name, but it is the Irish drumming event of the year.
Yeah.
It's an international event. We've companies coming from all over the world. You know, I was just telling you off the air that I'm dealing with deliveries coming from Canada, Czech Republic, Germany. It's insane at the moment.
And is it in the ballroom you're in the
place? We basically take over the whole hotel for the weekend. We have the expo itself is in the ballroom, where we have all the exhibitors, and we have the main stage in there for the artists that are playing at the show. But also down in the meeting rooms, we call them experience rooms for the weekend, where we have all different drumming experiences that you can go and take part in. Everything from sound bats to tuning masterclasses, anything that tickles your fancy, really.
Mm. And there's great interest in drumming now, isn't there?
Oh, huge. I mean, it's... drums are the oldest musical instrument. It awakens something tribal inside you, you know. Mm. So, you know, why better to have call it the Galway Drum Show, City of the Tribes, you know. So that was one of the reasons why we wanted to have this in Galway.
And do you have to have a beat? Do you have to have a sense of beat of some sort?
Well, everyone has a beat. You know, it might be, you know, it's kind of a case of some people march to their own beat, but they still have a beat, you know.
Mm. And come here, is there a charge involved in this?
Oh, there is, yeah. The tickets are available on Eventbrite. They're very reasonable. It's like €25. But that's for the whole day. And all the events that are on are free after mm-hmm. that. There's no hidden costs inside that you pay at the door and you have to pay for everything else. It's one ticket, you're there for the whole day. And all of the other experiences that are there, you just register for them when you get there. There's, you know, you can book it at the door. All the timetables are there. The timetable is on the website as well. You can see all everything that's happening. And all you need to do is put your name down, say, for tuning masterclass with Remo. There's room for 30 people at the first one, so you can just put your name down on the list and be at that meeting room at that particular time, and you're in.
Right. Mm. I mean, so it'll be a hive of activity, I'd say, in the Clayton Hotel.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, we're on the build up to the show, the logistics, and the amount of emails and phone calls, and the excitement is huge. It's growing. People contacting me from all over Ireland. You know, so firstly, they're really excited that this is happening because we've never had, you know, an Irish drum show. And like I own Rhythm Drum School in Crockwell, and I teach a lot of pro drummers, teach beginner drummers too, but we would have travelled to the UK and Europe for drumming events. Mm. And that's where the whole concept came from. We were in the UK and we said, there's nothing like this in Ireland, wouldn't it be great? You know, there's been loads of drum clinics here and there, mainly in Dublin. And I was talking to one of my students and we said, yeah, we could do this. So
here we are.
We met a guy in the UK and who makes drums. Actually, he's one of the main sponsors of the Galway Drum Show, Cambridge Drums. And he asked me, could you do a showcase in Ireland for Cambridge Drums? And I said, sure, of course I could. You know, so mm-hmm. that's where it actually started.
Yeah. Will they be wearing earplugs?
There will be a big box of earplugs at the door. Mm. Now, very important. Everybody, there's a huge amount of equipment there. People obviously want to try it. So there's kind of 20 minutes out of every hour when we call it the noisy time. And then there is an announcement that quiet time is necessary. Mm-hmm. So because there's companies there, there's people who want to talk about drums. People are obviously, there's going to be trading, people selling drums, and people have to be able to talk. But there's a big box of earplugs at the door and we suggest that you put them in.
You brought a drum with you. I've a minute and 30 seconds. What can you do for us in that time?
Oh my God, a minute and 30 seconds. I could. You could do a whole lot of noise in a minute and 30 seconds. But I can give you something for about 10, 15 seconds.
And go for it.
That should keep you happy.
I have earplugs on, so I have.
Oh yeah, I don't. So, all right, so I don't know what to play for you, but I'll make some kind of a racket and you can tell me when to shut up.
I would never tell a gentleman like you when to shut up.
All right, so here we go.
Make it look so flippin' simple, so you do.
Well, it's years and years of practice, you know, yourself.
Look, I suppose every one of us, our own job looks simple in the time, so it does. So, Clayton Hotel, this coming Sunday, 24th of March, starting at what time?
Doors open at 11 o'clock. We actually have a private, we're there Saturday as well, but it's a private masterclass with Annika Niles and Gary Husband are the two artists performing at the show. We also, just to mention, we also have the final of the Young Irish Drummer of the Year competition. So, young people are in school, but any parents of young drummers, we have a guy from Galway called Adam Nagajek who is actually playing at the final. So it'd be fantastic. That's happening at 11:30. So if we can get them along to give him some support, that'd be great.
Super. Listen, John Tierney from the Galway Drum Show, thanks for popping into us. Sunday, Clayton Hotel, and further details from Eventbrite.